بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of Iman bil Ghaib and how Iman bil Ghaib has to be worked on and strengthened. Just like physical strength comes from exercising against resistance. How do you build strength? Not by going with the flow. You build strength by exercising against resistance. The opposite. You want to build muscles, you have to lift heavy weights. You can't take this. This also has weight. I mean, everything has weight. So this pouch of my speaker, mic, I can't say I'm lifting this, 20 times, I will get strength. How will you get strength? You have to lift heavy weights. And when you lift heavy weights, what happens? First thing, pain. Right? It pains. But then, if you want strength to build, you have to get over that pain. You have to continue to lift the weights, even though there is pain. And then a time comes when there is no pain. And the time comes when you miss doing that. The famous thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger, that he was charged 7 times for break and entry. And what was he doing? I mean, he was governor of California. So, he was charged for, this is before he became governor. He was charged 7 times for break and entry. And what was he breaking and entering into? Into gyms, because these were the old days before gyms. There were no 24-hour gyms, so on Sunday he would just break into a gym and exercise. And by the time the cops got there, then they charged him with break and entry. He paid a fine, and then the following Sunday or something, he did the same thing. So the point is that it is exercise also becomes something which is almost like an addiction, because you need it. The same thing applies with regard to Iman bil Ghaib. Iman bil Ghaib doesn't happen just like that. Iman bil Ghaib happens when you make effort behind it. And that's why I've been telling you stories of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, who are the best of examples as far as Iman bil Ghaib is concerned. Believe me, Ghaib was as much Ghaib for them as it is for us today. In some ways, for them the Ghaib was more than it is for us today, because there are many things in the Quran al-Kareem which were in the area of ghaib during the time of the revelation, during the time of Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain. But today they are no longer ghaib. Take for example all the ayats which are relating to embryology, for example. Right? All of that is known. It's not ghaib anymore. Right? But in the time when the ayat were revealed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of how the fetus develops from the embryo and so on and so forth, this was not known. All of this became known only after the invention of the microscope. Until then, nobody could see it. Right? So, for the Sahaba, even that was ghaib. For us today, it is no longer ghaib. Similarly, there are so many other things in the Quran which today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed knowledge. But the reality is that no matter how long the world lives and no matter how much of scientific development happens, there will always be aspects of the ghaib which will still be ghaib. And as I mentioned, that's why I said ghaib is the unperceivable, it is not the unseen. Because what was unseen yesterday will become seen today. Like it happened with embryology. It was unseen then, it is seen today. So it's no longer ghaib. Now with the Sahaba, even that was ghaib still. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have created everything from water. Where is this ayat coming? This ayat is coming in the middle of the desert, where probably they can't find a green blade of grass anywhere. Right? I don't know the exact location of the asbab of this ayat, the asbab and nuzul of that, wallahu alam. But if you just go outside, I mean today, and unfortunately both Makkah and Madinah have become so urbanized and so built up that even to find soil, you can't find soil because everything is paved. Right? You can't even get mud. But if you drive out for some time, Then you get into the actual desert there. Even today you can see black rocks. There is nothing, there is no green anywhere, there is no drop of water anywhere. In the middle of all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have created everything from water. I mean, how believable is that? But the Sahaba believed. How did they believe? It is not because of some blind faith. They believed because they understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. They believed because they had this ihsas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their qulub. They had the feeling, they had the understanding, they had the sensation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. And this comes from effort. Take the issue of Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha. Here was this lady who was the wealthiest woman in Makkah. And I keep saying all the time, I said, when we make these statements, we must compare them to modern times. Look at, so for example, you know, I don't think we'll calculate actually NPV of money at that time. It's too far back. But if you look at the cost of, you know, and if you look at the what kind of trade they had and how did they do business across international borders and so on. We're talking about some serious money. We're not talking about some bakala kind of thing. Right? We're talking about very, very wealthy people. Now, there was a clique of them. There were a few of them. Not everybody was like that. But those few, that's how they ruled Makkah. The Makkah was not ruled by a king. There was no chief of Makkah. There was no king of Makkah. Makkah was ruled by a group of businessmen who used to get together in a place called An-Nadwa, which was their conference hall. And they would take decisions. So there was no headman of Makkah. It was a group of businessmen who ran the show. Exactly how the world is run today. If you think any politician is running the world, they're not. Anyone who thinks that doesn't understand politics, as simple as that. The world is run by a handful of multi-billionaires and trillionaires. There's like about 7 or 8 of them. That's it. They're running the whole world. And every politician dances to their tune. That's exactly how Makkah was run. That's my whole contention when my book on Seerah is the answer. My whole contention is that Makkah is like a crucible which got maximized in this world today. So therefore, what worked in Makkah will work today if you apply it, and that is the Seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in that situation, here was Khadijah al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, who completely spent her entire fortune in the service of Islam. Completely. Every cent she had, she spent in the service of Islam. And then one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting and Jibreel alayhi salam comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, your wife Khadija is about to come into the room with something for you to eat. When she comes, please give her my salam and please tell her that her Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu sent me to give her his salam. Right? Khadija radhiyallahu anha came into the room. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel is here, alayhi salam, and he is saying salam to you, and he says that Allah has sent him with Allah's salam for you. This is the result. But when did that result come? Did it come when she made the intention to do something? Did it come when she started doing it? Or did it come after the effort? Yeah. In Madina, you've heard this story from me many times, but you know these are beautiful stories and we should repeat them, and that's the reason I'm saying it also. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Masjid an-Nabawi al-Sharif. A young orphan boy came to him. He was crying. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why are you crying? He said, my father left me a small date garden and I want to build a wall around it to secure it. There is a tree in the way which belongs to my neighbor. Neighbor is also a Muslim. So I asked the neighbor, can I take my wall around your tree? He said, no. So I said, then please sell me the tree. So I will cut the tree and, you know, build the wall. The man said, I won't sell it. So he said, now I'm stuck, I can't do the wall. And he won't sell the tree, he won't do anything. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, call the man. They called him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a poor boy, give him, let him, you know, what does it matter, sell the tree. He said, Ya Rasulullah, it is my haqq. Yeah? Now, again, the man is a Muslim, he is not a munafiq or anything, he is a Muslim, but he has his own understanding of, you know, and wallah alam. So he says, no, it's my haqq, I will not sell the tree. It's my tree, up to me, I want to sell, I will sell it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, okay, I have a proposal for you. My proposal is, sell me the tree and I will guarantee you a tree in Jannah. What does it mean, tree in Jannah? What does it mean? It is Bashara of Jannah for the man, right? I mean, it's not to say you will sit in Jahannam and say, no, I have my tree there. I mean, it's Bashara of Jannah for the man. Now, this is where we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayat. And to keep us with istiqamah, to keep us with steadfastness on it. Here is a Muslim man, he is being promised Jannah by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he say? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will not sell you the tree. It is my tree. He went away. Now, this whole incident was witnessed by one of the Ansar, a sahabi by the name of Abu Dahda, not Abu Darda. Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. He was sitting there. He saw this whole thing happening. As soon as the man left, Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, if I buy the tree for you, will you guarantee me the same thing? What are these people talking about? Some pie in the sky, huh? Jannah. What Jannah? Have you seen Jannah? Some tree in Jannah? Seriously. And these are actual questions. And believe me, this question is today. This question will be until the day of judgment. And this question was also in the Sahaba's mind. How did the Sahaba deal with it? So he comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, if I get the tree for you, will you guarantee me the same thing you guaranteed this man? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu went behind this man. By the time he got to the man, he was in the middle of the market of Medina. Banu Nadir. So he stopped him, he told him, look, I have something to say. He said, what? He said, you know, I overheard your conversation in the masjid. And I have come to ask you to sell that tree to me. The man said, look, I did not even sell the tree to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why will I sell it to you? Abu Dahda Ansari radiallahu anhu said, no, hold on. First, listen to my whole story. Then you tell me, you want to sell it or you don't want to sell it. He said, first tell me, who am I? So this man said, what is this, some joke or something? Like Ismail tells me, you know, who am I? I said, what do you mean, who am I? I know who you are. He said, no, tell me, who am I? He said, you are Abu Dahda. He said, okay, what am I known for? Why am I famous in this place? He said, because you have the most valuable date garden in Medina, which has 650 yielding date palms. It has a well of sweet water and it has your house in it. That is why you are famous. Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu said, yes, that's correct. Now, by the time some people have collected, obviously, you know, people have nothing to do, so conversation. So he said, you are right. He said, now I have a proposal for you. My proposal is, sell me that one tree and I give you this whole thing. The 650 trees, well, house, everything is yours for this one tree. So this man says, you are mad or what? You are crazy. Something is wrong with you. Is this a joke? What kind of thing is this? Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu said, this is not a joke. I am not mad, nothing. I am asking you a deal. Are you willing to sell that one tree for my whole date garden, well, house, everything? The man said, you are serious? He said, yes. He said, these people are witness. He said, yes, they are witness. He said, okay, done. Take the tree, it's yours. Right? Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu goes to his garden. He stands outside. And he calls his wife, Ya Umm Dahda. She comes out. He says, bring the children and come out. We are going. I have sold this garden. Listen to this carefully. I have sold this garden. Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu says to whom? He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, for how much? He says, for one tree in Jannah. What does she say? Does she say, you are crazy? You should ask me, I mean, how do you sell this whole garden for one tree in Jannah? Where do we go? How do we live? Does she say all this? No. You know what she says? She says, Subhanallah, what a bargain. She says, Subhanallah, what a bargain. She brings her children out, and the writer of the story says one of the little ones had a date in his mouth. Obviously, he is living in a date garden, what will he eat? So he had a date in his mouth. She put her finger inside. She pulled out the date. She threw it. She says, we have sold this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't eat it. She brings the children and comes. Abu Dharr al-Ansari Radhiyallahu goes to Masjid Nabawi Sharif. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I got the tree for you. Then he says, Ya Rasulullah, what you told me, I will get now. You promised me the tree, I will have this tree. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Ya Abu Dharr, when I promised you, he said, I promised you one tree. He said, but now before you came, your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu showed me your Jannah, and he said, your Rabb has filled your Jannah with trees. This is the meaning of Imam Al-Ghaib. How does it come? By talking about it, by acting on it, by making the effort, by taking the pain. Your muscles don't build the first time you lift weights. The first time the only thing which happens is pain. Nothing else. You don't see any results. It's only repetition after repetition after repetition after repetition, pain after pain after pain after pain. Then it gets to a point where you start feeling the strength. So if we want our Iman bil Ghaib to strengthen, we have to do this. Keep spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand up for the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand up for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring the sunnah into your lives. Don't run scared here and there. And over and over, and be prepared for pain. Don't think that the moment you do that, the whole world is going to fall at your feet. No, they won't. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْصَبَرِ Why sabr? Because tawasaw bil haqq will create conditions. That is why you must have tawasaw bil sabr. There is no other way. Exercise will produce pain. There is no other way. But we have to get through that pain barrier. The other one is equally true, which is that then you have euphoria. Then you feel good and you have good muscles and your body looks good and you feel good and you've got a strength. All of this also is equally true. It's not only the pain. At the end of that also is equally true. So similarly, when we are working in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must make the effort. We must talk about this in our homes. Make this normal. Not only when you are sitting in a majlis of zikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah, may Allah grant us this. But this must become normal in our homes. Every day and night with your children, with the family and so on. Talk about Jannah, talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk about the Day of Judgment, talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make these into the normal conversation in your homes. That is how Iman bil Ghaib will build. Small children, give them pocket money, then ask him, give me a budget for your pocket money. How much did you spend in charity? What did you spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Build the habit in from the beginning. Inshallah, more tomorrow, bismillah ta'ala. But for today, this is enough, inshallah. Think about this and say, what should we do? Right? We are going through some very difficult times. In Sri Lanka, a lot of, all kinds of difficulties are on the Muslims. Make a lot of dua for Sri Lanka. Make a lot of dua for Muslims everywhere in China. Unbelievable, if you just think about what is happening in the world, Alhamdulillah, Allah has kept us safe. But make a lot of dua for the people who are undergoing hardship, for the Muslims and others, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should keep them safe and keep everybody safe, inshallah, from all forms of evil. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.